It's Jessie. If you're hearing this, that means my limited edition capsule collection for Joe Fresh is out now. In select stores and at joefresh.com, I designed matching pieces for the entire family in a really fun, bold checkerboard print, including a baby romper, toddler and kids dress, a kids t-shirt and short set, a shirt for men, and the cutest women's linen short set that you will live in all summer long. Every piece is under $35, and warning, you will get compliments wherever you go. Shop it now before it's gone. This week on Phone a Friend, it's our season 2 premiere, and it's too much to handle. Get it? The highs, lows, and Al Pacinos of the Oscars. Phone a Friend investigates Kate Gate, behind-the-scenes drama on Queer Eye for the Hate Guy, and I am thrilled to reunite with Heidi Montag, who is less than thrilled to reunite with me.
I felt like there was no empathy or sympathy. So for me to be a fan of the after show would probably be silly.
So does she want to forgive me or does she want to forget me? Find out now on the season 2 premiere of Phone a Friend.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Girl, let's phone a friend with Jessie
Cruikshank.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the season 2 premiere of Phone a Friend. Has there ever been something more worthy of an air horn sound effect? Woo! I'm Jessie Cruikshank, and with me today, making his triumphant return to your ears against his will, is Jason, my producer! Welcome back, JJ!
Hi! Hey!
Hi.
So excited for season 2.
Jason, season 2. We did it. Even just like hearing your voice in my ears, the tingling sensation I'm feeling all over my body is indescribable. I have missed you.
I've missed you too. We talk all the time, but I've missed you in this format.
We talk all the time, but not with headphones on, You know? You're really penetrating my eardrums right now, and that's the way I like it. I mid-season banged my way through 11 fantastic episodes, if I may say so myself, without you. And so, I don't know, I'm so happy to have you back.
I felt left out, but I'm happy to be here.
I know. You were still listening, which
I
appreciated.
Course.
And by the way, this is like our Ben and Jen, like, second reunion. This is like when they got back together 20 years later. It feels
this
like...
This is us now.
This is me and Jason, my producer now. Jason. Now, the phonies have been with me nonstop. Like, they have not had a break from me. I took them to Saskatchewan last week, okay? They know everything, probably too much about what's going on in my life. So please tell us, what is going on with you?
You know, I've been just keeping busy. Mm-hmm. I'm continuing to work on the TV shows that I work on.
Uh-huh.
Things are just going very well.
Jason is so modest. Jason got like a big promotion at his job. He's traveling for work a lot. He's just like, he's thriving, phonies. Jason, my producer, is fucking thriving.
That's sweet of you to say. Thank you.
I'm so proud and I'm so happy you're back. Jason, such an honor. Can't wait to make you gasp in shock and horror at something I say on this podcast for a whole other season.
Yeah.
Things are about to get bigger for you, Jason, because as you know, we are kicking off season two with our mutual friend. And let's be honest, one of your favorite people.
Yeah.
Heidi Montag. This is a dream come true. I can't think of a bigger season two premiere guest. Can you?
I kind of want to go out on a limb and say she's the guest I've been most excited for in all 52 episodes.
Wow.
I might say that.
That tracks. Okay. Say it.
I say that confidently.
Say that shit with your chest. Yeah. Yes. You know what I mean? Say that shit with your chest. Because she is. Listen, Jason was with me as an after show producer. We went to the Bahamas together to shoot that 30-minute special with Heidi and Spencer. You reminded me today that you were there filming when we were in the nightclub and Heidi was giving Spencer a lap dance. That footage that like, I think kind of went viral before anything technically was going viral. Yeah. You were there.
Yeah. Why I was the camera operator, I don't know. But
Canadian television. 19, okay. But he's producing. He's shooting. You do it all. Mm-hmm. Listen, we have a deep and rich history with Heidi Montag. I'm going to ask her about that lap dance, that moment in the club. I'm going to ask her whether or not she liked the after show. I feel like I have to sort of like, I don't know where I stand with her. We haven't spoken in over 10 years. Her husband blocked me on Twitter. She publicly blamed the after show for her 10 plastic surgery procedures. So I honestly don't know what energy I'm going to get from her when she picks up the phone. And I'm sort of terrified, you know?
I don't doubt it.
I'm nervous. Okay, but we wanted a big guest to kick off a big season, phonies. A major season. Because I'm so excited to announce, this will be my second drumroll sound effect of the episode. That Phone a Friend will now be streaming on Sirius XM Radio. This is so crazy. So yes, you can still hear the episode as you always have. They'll be dropping every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts. But you can also listen to Phone a Friend on Fridays. It will stream on Sirius XM. So that is thrilling. And if you're listening on Sirius right now, hi. Welcome to the party that most of the time feels like it is set in 2008. And it's because of you, phonies, really. I am so grateful to all of you. And I actually think, Jason, that I am officially entering my gratitude era.
Okay.
I've been feeling very hashtag blessed lately. I'm saying that like actually super earnestly because as you all know, I shot my first stand-up special in Toronto this past weekend. It's for a streaming service called Veeps. Their crew and their executives all flew in from LA because I insisted on doing the show in Toronto. I was like, I'm not doing this in Los Angeles. I'm doing it for my people in Toronto. So I had two sold out shows there. And I just want to say this. I also had a full-blown emotional breakdown hours before the shows.
What?
Okay? Yes. And I'm only telling you this because I feel like I really do feel a closeness with the phonies that I don't feel, honestly, with anyone else. Like, I share things here that I don't even share with my own husband. So for anyone who doesn't listen to this podcast, let's just let them think it was a flawless evening. But for you phonies and you, Jace, you should know what actually occurred behind the scenes, which is I'm sitting in hair and makeup. Dozens of people are setting up cameras, lights, the audience chairs. Hundreds of people are like lining up around the block. And it hit me in that moment that like, oh God, all of this is for me. It's for something that I'm doing alone on the stage that I created in my brain all by myself. It's not like most high pressure situations that I've been in where I'm part of something much bigger, right? Like, I'm hosting a series or I'm an award show host. Like, yes, I'm important, but I'm not everything, right? I'm just kind of a cog in the wheel. This is the first time that I was like, oh, fuck, I'm everything. This is my show. And I don't know. I just had this moment where I realized that, like,
everything I've worked so hard for in my life and in my career has sort of all led up to that moment. Oh my God, I'm going to cry. Not on the season two premiere.
Yes, on the season two premiere.
There's the producer coaster. Part of Jason, my producer. I don't know. I just have worked so hard for it my whole life. Pardon my language, Sirius XM, bleep that. But like the live tour, the many asshole co-hosts I've had, like the sacrifices I've made, the time that I've spent away from my kids, like it all sort of brought me to this. And the magnitude of that just felt so heavy in the moment that I don't know, everything I think that I had been holding in just sort of came pouring out, like heaving convulsive sobs hours before the show, literally cried off this gorgeous makeup, gone. I don't know. I just don't think I'd ever felt that kind of pressure in my life. Like I really realized that if I screwed this up, I was going to let down a lot of people. And I so badly wanted these LA executives to be happy. And I wanted the director from LA to like me. And I wanted to like hit my marks and my music cues. And I was so worried about pleasing all these people. For a moment, I think I just sort of forgot what the show was about, which is a night out for me and my people, right? Like, it's a night out for my people who have been following me since I hosted The Hills After Show with Heidi Montag. It's for my girls. It's for my elder millennials, my gays, my tired ass mom friends, my phonies, like my people who work so fucking hard and are tired and often feel isolated and just want a night out to let go and laugh and connect. That's what my show is for. And so I'm standing backstage and I just like started to hear the girls screaming. And I realized like, these people didn't come to see me hit my marks or deliver my jokes perfectly. They came to have a great time. And they're not going to have a great time if I'm not having a great time. And then I just like let go of everything, Jace. Like I walked out onto the stage and I was like, screw the cameras. Who cares what the LA executives in the sport coats pacing in the back mm-hmm. think? Like, this show is not for them. This is a show for us. So like, go give your girls the best show you can. And it wasn't perfect. You know me, Jason. I like things to be perfect. It was not a perfect show. Like some things I didn't expect happened. I didn't hit all my marks. I didn't deliver everything perfectly. But like it was so much fun. I had the time of my life doing it. Everybody there had such a great time. And that is sort of the experience that we captured on film. And I'm so happy. I'm so relieved that it's over. And I cannot wait for you all to see it when it streams this spring on Veeps. Yay!
I can't wait to see it.
I can't do an air horn sound effect for myself. I don't have it in me, but
I feel like you can.
Okay, here it is.
Twist my arm.
I earned that. So thank you, honestly, to everybody who came to see me on this tour, everyone who has been so supportive. Like, Jason, my people are the best.
Yeah.
Someone came to the show wearing and then gave me like a Taylor Swift Eras tour t-shirt, but Jesse Cruikshank Eras with like pictures of me as an awkward tween and then like as on like the after show and the goods. Like it was, I mean, my people are the best. I'm so, so lucky. So yes, in my gratitude era, hard, so, so grateful for all of you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for being a part of what was a really meaningful night for me. So thank you. And you should know that after this incredible night and career high, I returned to my home where my three kids were recovering from norovirus. That's the air horn sound effect. Just literal vomit everywhere, okay? I was like, Evan, want to see these gifts from my fans? And he was like, want to plunge the toilet instead? Literally, Evan was like, great job, honey. Congratulations. They're all yours. He was like, I did it. I'm out. And he should be. He spent a week alone with three vomiting children. He earned it. So from now on, if you need me, I'll be doing all the drop-offs and pickups and bedtimes and lunches for the rest of the year. And I'm okay with that, you know? All right, Jason, I'm going to say something I have not said in months. And this time I mean it. This time I'm going to say that shit with my chest. It's been a week.
It's been a week. Yeah.
Oh, I've really missed that. I've really missed that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So after arriving home and scrubbing the inside of my toilet, I sat down to watch the I'm Just Ken performance. And by that, I mean the Oscars. Truly, I just tuned in for the I'm Just Ken. Like, I was ready to see it and love it, and I was not disappointed. So I'd like to break down the highs and lows of the 2024 Oscars.
The highs and the lows.
Jason, did you watch the show?
I didn't.
No.
No, I missed it.
You didn't watch any of it?
No, I just sort of, for the past couple of years with the Oscars, I haven't been, you know, wildly excited about it. So I kind of just wait for like the highlight clips on Instagram the next morning.
My God, it's almost like you're a tired ass mother of three. Well, let me fill you in. Okay. Well, let's start with the moment that they made us wait 3 hours for. Okay. Ryan Gosling performing I'm Just Ken. Did you watch this on the TikToks?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So much build up to this moment. I'm thinking, I'm like nervous for him because, you know, he was in a band, but he's not a singer by trade. Hard to perform a sort of ironic, silly song in this very self-serious room. But he did it. I don't know about you, Jay. I have no notes. Okay. Academy Award nominated Ryan Gosling brought Breaker High Ryan Gosling to this performance, and we are not worthy. Didn't you feel that way?
Yeah.
I was just so blown away by the way he was able to sort of ride the line between like actually delivering a beautiful vocal and flawless choreographed performance while also seeming totally unserious about all of it. He like struck tonal perfection. When Slash turned around, I was screaming, okay? He just, like, he made the Oscars fun again. That moment, like, reminded us all that movies are actually entertainment, okay? They're pageantry. It's not that serious. Here's my one question. Why can't we bring Eva Mendes out for one night, okay? Why are we trapping her in the home while we're all having our peak moment? Like, what? I understand that privacy is important. I know she said she doesn't do red carpets with him because, you know, they want to stay out of the spotlight. But if she's your damn wife and mother of your children and the person who's been supporting this Ken journey for you, why can't she be by your side the one night you're nominated and performing at the Academy Awards? Doesn't she want to be there? Doesn't he want her there? It doesn't make sense to me that if we're all trying to, you know, remain private, then why is she posting online constantly about being proud of him and supporting him? Like, she literally posted a reel standing outside of his Oscars dressing room and then posted a TikTok, like, wearing his hat and jacket from the performance, being like, get home soon, baby. I'm like, no, why aren't you going home with him? We're not hiding in the shadows, pretending not to be a couple. We're very much promoting our relationship on the internet. So why not do it in person for one night? Did she get the same abdominal surgery Kate Middleton got? We'll get to that. Like, why are we hiding her? And this is me, someone who loves to fantasize about Ryan Gosling being single, but I'm the one wanting him to just remind us all that he's not. You know what I mean?
Have they ever been seen together in public?
Only at Disneyland.
Okay, they've never ever done a red carpet or anything.
I mean, according to my psychotic knowledge of pop culture, I believe they've been on the Place Beyond the Pines red carpet, which was the movie they met on and did together.
Oh, okay.
They were photographed there together. I know the photo well. She's wearing like an urban turban. She looks great. And I don't believe they've been photographed publicly since, other than at Disneyland.
Yeah, I'm like, are they just, is that a kind of pact that they made that they like refuse to break no matter what? You know, like,
I know.
It would be so much more annoying if they did it sometimes and were selective, but I kind of get it if they've just made the decision to never do it and they stick to it. But you're
but
right. If
why?
She's posting stuff that she's with him, like, you don't dip your toe in the water. Just dive right in.
Thank you so much. Dive right into Ryan Gosling. It's something that I would very much like to do right now and think about doing often in the privacy of my own bedroom. I'm Just Ken was a real high.
High.
I'm also going to say the Emma Stone Best Actress win, also a high.
High.
I have not seen Poor Things, have you?
No, I haven't.
I do love a relatable A-list actress who can make fun of herself, who can like make a joke about her broken dress, who is not a dour, monotone, serious actress like so many of these young women are. I will also say, I was at a private party with Emma Stone last month, and she sat at a roped-off booth in the corner with a security guard standing next to her the entire time. Her husband, by the way, I had a lovely chat with him. He's mixing and mingling. He's like very Evan-esque. Have you seen her husband?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, Jason, Google him right now. Okay. It's Evan. It's Evanescence is what it is. Emma Stone's husband is essence of Evan. Tall, bearded, big features.
Oh, yeah. Very Evan.
Right? Thank you. So Evanescence, as we're going to call him from now on, is mixing and mingling. I'm chatting with him. He's chatting with everybody. Emma Stone sitting in a corner doing no mixing, no mingling the entire party, then left early with her security team while her husband stayed back evanescencing at the party. In fairness, if I were like an A-list star who was nominated for an Academy Award, I would also not want to mix and mingle with basic people like me either. So not super hashtag relatable in that moment, but I do still love her. And her win was a high.
Hi.
I also like Jimmy Kimmel, loved the Trump tweet and the up past your jail time joke. But my final high is naked John Cena.
Hi.
Jason, you and I have worked on awards shows together. It is hard to pull off a live bit in any context. It's especially hard to pull off naked comedy in a stuffy room of artists. Mm-hmm. But this was the funniest moment of the show, was it not?
Yeah, agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Of what I saw.
Oh, you happened to find
the 90 seconds I
saw. You have, of the two clips, one of them was Ryan Gosling and one of them was naked John Cena. Is this accurate?
That's okay, that's algorithm, yes.
Well, in your eyes, the Oscars were flawless. I'm going to go out here and say John Cena, cue inspirational music, is the most underappreciated talent of our time. Not only does he have the body of a Greek god on human growth hormone, I would argue he's the most comedically gifted movie star we have. But due to his physical beauty, he has been relegated to playing dads in family road trip comedies or mermen in Barbie. John Cena is worthy of so much more. And after that masterful bit at the Oscars, I can only hope Hollywood will give this wealthy, successful, attractive, straight white man a chance for once to live up to his full potential. Justice for John Cena. Needed to be said, you know? Should we get to the lows?
Let's get to the lows.
Low.
The fashion all around was a low for me, Jason.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The people you expected to slay, Emma Stone, Zendaya, Ariana Grande, all look like relatively boring or like a set of pink lungs. I'll say that shit with my chest, Ariana. But the most disappointing of all was Margot Robbie. Because her looks have been so spectacular all year long. They literally published a book about her looks in the past year. And yet at this, the pinnacle moment of the year of Barbie, she showed up in a straight-up, off-the-runway, black Versace tube dress. And now there's all these theories. Some people think it was a political statement. Others think it was in protest for not getting nominated. Some think she was trying to give the spotlight to America Ferrera. Vogue said she was dressed for a Barbie funeral to say goodbye to her character. Jessie Cruikshank says it was straight-up boring, and I expected so much more from her. Okay, even if you didn't get nominated, don't let them win. Show up in a fucking revenge dress. You know what I'm saying? Wear a dress that will make that Academy regret breaking your heart for as long as they live. Another low was that Barbie only won one of 8 awards. Congratulations, Billie Eilish. It's not enough for a movie that dominated the conversation around cinema this year, right?
Yeah, it's shame.
Shame. Just footnote, I heard Billie Eilish one time talk about a choir that she and Phineas went to growing up in Los Angeles, and I immediately signed Rio and Drea for the exact same choir. Okay. And during Billie Eilish's acceptance speech, she shouted out their current choir teacher. And I'm just saying that what that means is that my sons will one day win 2 Academy Awards by the time they're 25. My final low was 83-year-old father of an 8-month-old, Al Pacino, announcing the pinnacle award of the night, not by reading the nominees, then saying, and the Oscar goes to, but instead by saying this.
10 wonderful films were nominated
but only one will take the award for Best Picture. And I have to go to the envelope for that, and I will. Here it comes. And my eyes see Oppenheimer.
Oh, my
yes. Yes.
My literal grandpa is announcing the biggest award of the night. What? Did you see that?
No.
Oh, Jason, it was confusing. It was the definition of anticlimactic. I still don't understand how a man who was nominated for 9 Academy Awards doesn't know how to announce one. I know you're supposed to say, and the Oscar goes to, okay, I've been nominated for 0 Academy Awards, but I guess I'm also not 83 and like a tired old new dad. And I think this is a really good excuse to fire up the old dad's jingle, don't you, Jay?
Yes, definitely.
Roll it, Rob.
Old dad, old dad.
Oh my God, I've been dying to play that jingle again for like literally 9 months. Oh, season 2 is satisfying already. And those are my highs and lows of the Oscars.
The highs and the lows.
What's next?
What's next?
Oh, here at Phone a Friend, we take pride in our journalistic excellence and strive to present you with only the highest standard of factual information, something that the royal family finds impossible to do. Phonies, if the whereabouts of alleged missing person Kate Middleton have been keeping you up at night, then sit down, grab a Yorkshire tea and a crumpet, because we're about to unpack all of it in a brand new edition of Phone a Friend Investigates Kate Gate.
Phone a Friend Investigates Kate Gate.
First, a brief overview of how this has all gone down. Back in January, Princess Kate Middleton, wait, Duchess of Cambridge? What do I call her, Jace? I don't want to get the royalists angry here. Not on my Sirius XM debut.
Catherine, Princess of Wales.
Catherine, Princess of Wales. Went in for a routine abdominal surgery. The royal family said she would take 2 weeks to recover in the hospital and then be out of commission until at least after Easter. And if you thought, huh, okay, and then moved on with your life, you're not on TikTok, because royal family watchers on the talk started to wonder why. What's the proper name?
Kate, Princess of... Oh, shit. Kate... Oh, Catherine, Princess of Wales.
Catherine, Princess of Wales, hadn't been seen publicly since before Christmas. And isn't it strange, they thought, that one of the world's most photographed women was never even seen leaving the hospital? The same woman who was seen wearing makeup and heels with a blowout days after birthing her children.
Remember that?
Oh, I'll never forget it.
Sorry.
It's the reason I got hair extensions and eyelash extensions for the birth of my children, because I saw Kate, the Princess of Duchess Wales, and I thought, that's what I've got to do, I guess. She showed her face after birthing human children and then was never seen leaving the hospital after what we were told was a routine procedure. Okay, cut to the end of February. Prince William pulls out of a memorial service for his godfather, where he was supposed to speak, due to a, quote, personal matter. So now this is causing concern, because it's kind of a big thing to miss. So based on nothing else, we can obviously assume there's some connection here to missing Kate Middleton's whereabouts. Where did she go? Why is she in hiding? What happened to her? Is she alive? Conspiracy theorists go crazy. And again, by conspiracy theorists, I mean people on TikTok. Some common theories surrounding her 2-month disappearance include... Should I read these in a British accent, Jason?
I love that. Yes.
Oh, God. My apologies to all of the British people of Britain. Perhaps she was induced... Perhaps she was in an induced coma. Perhaps her marriage to William was on the rocks and she was in hiding. Some thought she was filming The Masked Singer. The Masked Singer is actually so American, it cannot be spoken in a British accent. It's actually impossible to pronounce with a British accent. Others thought she was getting a BBL. Jason, Could you please, what is a BBL? Could you? Go ahead.
Brazilian butt lift.
Thank you so much. Could she have died and the palace was replacing her with a body double? Or even more terrifying, did she mess up her bangs and is waiting for them to grow out? An actual theory. This is an actual theory that people think could be happening. In an attempt to squash all of these rumors and the bad press, this past weekend, March 10th, Kensington Palace circulated a picture of Kate, Duchess, what is it? Duchess of Princess? Why can't I remember this?
Catherine, Princess of Wales.
Catherine, Princess of Wales. With her three children in honor of Mother's Day in the UK. People noticed almost right away that there were a lot of weird things going on in the photo. The Associated Press even told news outlets to stop running the picture because it had been, quote, over-manipulated. Literal fingers were bent, sweaters were mismatched colors, the wedding ring was missing, the hair was weird. It looked like when I try to Facetune anything. Like, if you look closely at some of my Instagram photos, they're just like bent walls and missing chunks of skin. Like, this was a shoddy Facetune job that was circulated as a photo for global news outlets to publish. Also, by the way, no way she took that cute a picture with three fucking kids. I can tell you from experience, not possible without Photoshop. Kate then came back from the dead, allegedly, and put out a tweet, LOL, official, explaining that the picture was nothing to worry about. She said she's an amateur photographer who occasionally experiments with editing photos. Bet she thought it would go away. It did not. Got even worse. TikTok sleuths, this is the best part, have now noticed that Kate's face in the Mother's Day photo is actually the exact same photo used in her 2016 Vogue magazine cover. If you put the pictures side by side and kind of like tilt one a little bit, they're basically identical. Now, suddenly, I think there might be some Weekend at Bernie's shit going on. Like, is she okay? Jason, where do you stand on Kate Gate?
It's so messed up. It's so sloppy, like it's so messy so sloppy. And sloppy, and yes. It's probably, there's probably a really lame, boring explanation for everything, like the photos and the missing persons is everything, but it's just like they're making it so much worse by covering things up and editing photos and, you know, putting out fake tweets. It's so strange.
It's become so apparent that the royals are truly the last people to understand that authenticity is the key to success in our current social media fueled landscape. Like, if you just tell people what is going on, and maybe you show a little, God forbid, vulnerability while doing it, people will leave you alone. But if you're super vague and then put out like a weird fake picture and won't give people details, like then people start to question. It's shocking to me that they don't realize that. And I do agree with you. Like, God, I wish she would just like take off a unicorn head and be like, surprise, Nick Cannon. It's me on The Masked Singer. I mean, Nicole Scherzinger would pass out. I also wish she would, you know, reemerge at Easter church services with a big old dumper. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
And there we have Jason's first Oh, My God of season two.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wait, is that the, remember that voicemail?
Yeah. And guess what?
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I forgot about that.
Somebody left a voicemail saying that they love how Jason gasps, oh my God, in shock. And then we created a montage. In fact, you know what? Rob, our technical producer, let's roll
no.
that.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Jesse. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Welcome back, Jason. He's back, everybody. But I don't think it's going to be an appearance on The Masked Singer or a big old rump. I think it is like you said, I think it's something very basic. I read something that a doctor posted that she thought it was colorectal surgery, which can often involve a colostomy bag. And that's why she doesn't want to be seen in public. And that's why it's not something that it's like a sexy thing to talk about. And that's why she's been so guarded about it. And that's fair. I just think like give people a little more information, tell them it's like a more perhaps entailed procedure so people back off. But right now, all we're getting is like some fucked up Photoshop fingers on Prince Louis, and we're trying to figure it out. Phonies, we'll be sure to keep you updated on everything Kategate. My biggest takeaway here is that it's apparently acceptable for us to be using pictures from 2016 again, which I will definitely be doing. Because that is the year before I had kids, and there is still life left behind my eyes. What's next?
What's next?
Oh, get ready, Jason. Your oh my gods are just getting started. I have the honor now to drop some gay news on Jason, my producer, in our beloved segment called Gay News.
Gay News!
If you, like me, have enjoyed a season or eight of Queer Eye, where the Fab Five band together to make people over with love, laughter, and kindness, you will never watch it the same way again. Because according to a bombshell article in Rolling Stone this week, the Fab Five fucking hate each other. Jason, I asked you if you had heard about the Queer Eye drama. You said no.
No, I hadn't.
So please sit back, relax, and be prepared to oh my God, and gasp harder than Tan France does when a truck driver from Oklahoma walks out with a haircut and a French tuck, okay? Are you ready? So at the end of last year, Bobby Burke, the interior designer, announced he was leaving the show. And I think people assumed the joke, which was always like, Bobby Burke renovates an entire home while Anthony teaches someone to make avocado toast, but he's hot, probably became all too real for Bobby Burke, right? Like, I think everyone just assumed, okay, he was over it. He's leaving. Turns out there was drama and tension and feuds amongst the cast. So when the show got renewed, and apparently they were going to cancel it because the tension was so bad with the cast. But when the strikes happened, Netflix needed some like unscripted content without actors. So they decided to renew Queer Eye. Bobby Burke was under the impression that none of the other four were going to sign on again. So Bobby Burke said, I'm out. I'm not signing on. And as soon as he did that, the other four got together and signed on without him. And then supposedly Tan France petitioned to have his friend, a designer named Jeremiah Brent, who's married to Nate Berkus, take Bobby's place. Are you following, Jay?
Wow. Yeah. Shady gaze.
So Bobby is furious. Can you even imagine? He like thought he was like banding together with the Fab Five to not return to the show. And then they all returned without him. And after that, Rolling Stone spoke to 10 Queer Eye production members to find out what has really been going on behind the scenes. And Jason, it is more dramatic than a full home makeover in less than 48 hours. Okay. Apparently none of them are friends. Most of them are jerks. And that the biggest one is Jonathan Van Ness. Lovable, hilarious, breakout star of the show, JVN, who uses they, them pronouns, is a, quote, monster. Monster. Four Queer Eye production sources said Jonathan was, quote, I'm reading from this article, terrible to work with, a nightmare, demeaning, emotionally abusive, and had rage issues. They said JVN would explode once a week, quote, yelling at the crew. And as a result, the other four would refuse to shoot scenes with him. According to the article, Netflix executives had at least one meeting with Jonathan about their behavior and treatment of the crew. But because JVN is, you know, the star of the show, there wasn't much else that they could do. So the behavior remained unchecked. Are you shook?
I'm shook. It's just so hard to picture JVN
doing that. I know.
All I can picture is the Instagram videos being like, hey, you slut, you're the best person ever.
You're right. JVN tells me weekly to look at myself in the mirror and be like, bitch, you're slaying. You're a hot slut.
Yeah. That's the JVN I know.
That's the JVN we know. They've built an entire brand around, you know, authenticity. And they really have done remarkable things for the queer community, you know, for the trans community. Like, they connect with real people on that show in what appears to be a really empathetic way. So to hear that this is going on behind the scenes, it's like when the Ellen article came out, or the Jimmy Fallon revelations that he was a dick to his staff, or the Lizzo allegations. Like, all of these people whose brand is predicated on being kind are allegedly very unkind behind the scenes. And I should say about JVN, this is all alleged. These are secondhand remarks from people who worked on the show. JVN, to my knowledge, has not come out and said anything about it. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. What I think we're seeing is sort of like the Me Too movement, but for assholes. I'm going to call it hashtag mean too. And I think, first of all, let's get that trending because it's genius. I think it's about time that toxic people get called out for their behavior, right? We talked about this when the Kelly Clarkson thing, same thing happened with the toxic culture of the Kelly Clarkson show. Like, so many people are starting to get called out for their behind the scenes behavior. And I think it's about damn time, to quote Lizzo, allegedly toxic Lizzo. Season 9 of Queer Eye is currently filming in Las Vegas. Watch for the makeovers and the palpable tension.
Kind of makes me want to rewatch it again and just see if there's like side eye and stuff.
Oh my God. I want to watch episode 1, season 1, and then I want to watch season 9, episode 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's next?
What's next?
Oh, I know exactly what's next. And it feels right that, you know, we're coming out of a conversation about reality show tension, because I was in the middle of reality show tension for 6 seasons when I hosted a little something called The Hills After Show. If you're familiar with that, my first phone a friend of season 2 needs no introduction. She's a reality TV icon at this point. You loved her on The Hills, then you hated her on The Hills, then you loved her again. Now she is taking over the internet with music, podcasts, and squats. A lot of squat vids on Instagram. Jason, have you double tapped those?
Yep.
Every single one.
I kind of want that like weird machine she has, but that's another conversation.
I am squatting with excitement to place this call. So let's phone a friend.
Girl, let's phone a friend.
I am phoning Heidi Montag. This will be the first time we've spoken in over 10 years. I honestly don't know where we stand. I mean that. Like, Heidi and Spencer made it very clear they weren't big fans of the after show at the time. At some point in the last 10 years, Spencer blocked me on the internet. But as I've said on this show, I'm here for the new music, the podcast. I want to clear the air. I want to find out what she really thought about Dan and I, and then catch up on 10 plus years worth of music, podcast, reality shows, boobs, and babies.
Hello.
Hello. Montag, as I live and breathe.
Thank you for calling me.
Are you kidding me? You're my first guest on season 2 of Phone a Friend.
I have the first phone call.
Yeah.
It's a pretty important one.
This is a big deal. Are you at home right now? Where are you? Where
I am. I'm at home.
Because this is not a visual medium, I should describe behind Heidi, framed Playboy covers, framed Us Weekly covers, like your entire life in the press is framed behind you on a wall.
Yes. Well, half of it.
Should we be prepared for Spencer to jump in at any point during this conversation?
I think he's on dad duty, but you never know.
I love that. Do you remember when we filmed a 30-minute special together in the Bahamas when you were there performing for the Miss Universe pageant?
I was just talking about it.
What were you talking about?
I was talking to Spencer about the special that you filmed at my Miss Universe.
An iconic 30-minute special. And I remember so much of it was like supposed to be one-on-one interviews with you, but Spencer would always pull up a chair and join. And listen, Spencer is always welcome, but I love my one-on-one Heidi time as well.
Well, here we are. We are a phone call away.
Okay, let's start this phone call by releasing our inhibitions and feeling the rain on our skin. Heidi, we have known each other for almost 20 years.
That's a very long time.
You were on The Hills, obviously. I was hosting The Hills After Show. Can we just cut to it? because I've been wondering this for 20 years. How did you feel about The Hills After Show?
I didn't like it. I was like, I am not going there where they just talk shit. Literally, like, I'm not going.
Wait a minute. At a certain point, we realized that because our producers would get phone calls from Spencer in the morning if we had, like, said something he didn't like the day before. But you guys didn't want to come on the show because we would just, like, draw on you and talk about you.
Yeah, I felt like it was very unfair. I felt like it was very, like, pro other people and not us. And I do get that was also part of the narrative of the show in general. So it's tricky because you're going off of the show and the narrative. And at the same time, I felt like there was no empathy or sympathy or rooting for me in particular in any way. So I was like, I'm not going on that show.
Heidi, I feel devastated to hear that. I really do. I don't know if you remember this. You did an interview with Billy Bush on Access Hollywood where you publicly, you know, said that the after show was one of the reasons that you decided to get plastic surgery. And I, like, Dan and I had to issue an apology. Like, it was this whole thing.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
I don't think so.
Was that true? Maybe it wasn't.
I don't remember that. I don't ever think I said that.
You can Google it. We had to, like, post a video apologizing.
Oh, I'll Google it.
Okay, Google it.
I don't remember that. Did you guys make fun of my looks? I don't know.
No, we never did. And I always felt so bad. Okay, listen, this is what I will say. You know, you guys know better than anybody what it takes to be famous. And I think at the end of the day, the after show really did sort of, it was like the first show talking about another show. And it did sort of create a fervor around The Hills that helped elevate the series and you guys as a result. So maybe in hindsight, you can appreciate it in that sense.
I think The Hills after show was a brilliant idea. Obviously, Bravo has adopted the concept themselves.
Stolen it, yeah.
I do think that other shows in general are more fair of cast members. And I think that The Hills just wasn't that way in general as a show. And you guys weren't that way as an after show. So for me to be a fan of the after show would probably be silly. You know, like, Heidi, why are, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't a fan of the after show.
Listen.
But it's okay. Like, I appreciate and understand your job and the after show. And that's fine, too. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you're getting paid to do. That's your show. It's different. So I do totally understand from a entertainment perspective and a job perspective. It's like, well, that's what you were getting paid to do. So that was the show.
I appreciate that. What I'm hearing is that you want to forgive me and hopefully not forget me.
Yeah.
No,
I love you. We've been through so much. We've had so many times. I don't hold any resentment at all. If you're just asking about the after show, if I liked it, then, like, no, of course not.
But
do I appreciate you and what you bring in pop culture? And do I like you? Yeah, of course.
Oh, Heidi, this is what I want to say now, because that was a fucking crazy time. Now, looking back, I don't think you guys ever got enough credit for what you did for The Hills. Not only were you the funniest, most entertaining cast members on the show.
Funny, you know, everybody, funny.
Funny. Not only did you drive almost every major conflict in the show, but you were also, like, masters of manipulating the media outside of the show, which in turn drove viewers back to The Hills. Just look at all the magazine covers behind you. Do you feel like you guys were underappreciated or undervalued for what you brought to MTV at that time?
I think we were valued in the media, and that's what we got paid for. We got paid for the Us Weekly covers. We got paid for the photos. I think we did a great job at making a lot of money. I think Spencer was brilliant with so many things. I do think that the producers of the show were undermining us. I think actual MTV appreciated us. Look, it's entertainment. It's a give. It's a take. It's a tricky business. And I'm just thankful for the whole adventure, honestly.
Was there ever a point where you felt like, because obviously you and Spencer were playing the villain roles. I'm sure you had conversations, right, about, like, how you're going to lean into that. Was there ever a point where you felt like, you know, it was backfiring on you or that you regretted playing those roles?
I think it was a continual give and take. It's like, okay, well, this is happening, but this is happening. And so it wasn't all good. It wasn't all bad. It was just like, how do we move from here? What do we do from here? How do we make the most money? What's the next step? So it was just a continual chess match.
Interesting. And did it ever, like, you always felt like nothing ever affected the two of you. Like, together you were like Teflon. Did anything ever hit you? Like, any of the criticism, any of the sort of like fucking idiots on the after show? Like, was there ever a dark time there for you?
I mean, of course, sometimes, you know, things would hurt more or less, and then you kind of work through it. And the blessing for us at the end of the day was we had each other, and to be able to talk through that and understand each other and strengthen each other and to know what was really going on. So it's tricky when you're putting out a fake storyline of your relationship and then people are going off of that, right? Because they think that's the reality of what is happening. So we always understood that playing a certain role on TV, which was the only role we were given. They're like, if you don't shoot this scene, you're not on the episode and you're not getting paid.
No.
And we're like, well, where's that line? You know, so it's like, well, if we don't fake fight and then we don't get paid and then we don't do this. So it was always a hard balance of money, entertainment, reality, our own reality, and what made sense at the end of the day. It's like, these are big checks. They're not going to pay us, what, like $60,000 or $100,000 to not be on this episode to fake fight and for Spencer to pretend to talk to a girl. So it's tricky, you know, especially when you're young and you're being offered so much and your parents are working really hard. And, you know, it's just, it's a hard balance. And it was a once in a lifetime experience, but we did have each other in real life at the end of the day with an amazing, loving, supportive relationship. And without that, we definitely wouldn't have been able to be as successful as we were and to be able to be where we are. I mean, we've been together for 17 years and we've been married for 15. So that's a long time.
I'm sorry. Where's my damn air horn sound effect? That's against all odds, Heidi Montag. Like, no one at the time would have believed that you two would be together with two gorgeous kids. It really is remarkable to see. I'm just fascinated by this. Could they really say to you, like, hey, if you don't fake Spencer flirting with another girl, you're not going to be on this episode and therefore you won't be paid for that episode? Is that really?
Oh yeah, all the time. So that's why we got in a really tricky situation, because once I stopped hanging out with the whole group, then we weren't allowed to film with them. So we always had to have like these fake fights and these fake storylines to stay on it, because I wasn't supposed to be on the show anymore. And that's where it became really tricky, you know, when Lauren was like, well, if you're with Spencer, you can't be on the show, basically. And so I was like, well, then I'd rather not be on the show and like follow my heart and not be given an ultimatum in friendship like that, because you don't own me. You know what I mean? Like, okay, bye. That's fine. And the network was like, no, absolutely not. Let's just give them their own narrative. But the narrative had to be so heightened and dramatic. So nobody would have watched our real lives, watching movies and hanging out and shopping. You know, it was just so normal.
And by the way, I think you were the original reality TV villains. Like, now reality TV villains are the most beloved characters on any reality show, right? Like, you were way ahead of your time.
Well, I think villains now are just called entertainers.
Yes!
Yeah, you appreciate when people bring the entertainment. And that's what we were doing from the beginning. And Spencer just came from a producing side. He just created and executive produced Princess of Malibu, which was on Fox. He was one of the youngest executive producers in the history of Hollywood, sold and created at 20 years old. He's absolutely brilliant mastermind. And so he came in from a producing standpoint.
Right.
And that really changed the whole show.
Right. Oh my God, it really did. And I just want to throw this out there. Here, I'm still trying to clear the air between us, because now that you say it, you never flew out to Toronto to be on the after show. All the other cast did. You never came to the big finales that we had in New York, in LA. I always thought it was because there was weird internal drama and the cast didn't want you there. Dan and I always wanted you guys there. You were our top, top choice for guests. So I think that we were always being like blocked by the powers that be because of what you just talked about, like there being that drama within the cast. So I'm just going on record as saying we always wanted you there.
Well, look at Danny made Schitt's Creek based off of us. He literally said in the press, podcast that we inspired Schitt's Creek. I'm like, first of all, where's my cameo? And Jack, what are you talking about? And where was Desi on it? Oh, shouldn't she have been the sister?
Thank you. Thank you. Where's my check, Dana?
Yeah.
Hey, listen to this full circle moment. You're my first guest on season two. Dan was my first guest on season one of this podcast.
Okay.
And do you know what Dan and I talked about? We talked about the series finale of The Hills, which was at the Roosevelt Hotel.
Yeah.
You guys left the show halfway through the final season, right?
Yeah, you could say left.
What happened?
It got tricky with production and legal stuff, and it got a little
messy.
Yeah. But we got paid for the full season, so we weren't in the wrong.
Okay.
And that was it.
So shit got a little messy, still got your paycheck, but you weren't in the last few episodes of the season, and therefore you were not invited to the series finale, which we shot at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood.
I think I was.
No, Heidi, this is like one of Dan and my most traumatic memories, is we were rehearsing on the pool. The pool was covered at the center of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We get the news that Spencer has showed up uninvited to the hotel dressed as an old man carrying
a
backpack filled with what we were told was rattling metal, and was trying to book a balcony room overlooking the finale stage. And Dan and I literally thought we were going to get killed on live television by...
Well, that's crazy.
Okay.
Oh, you guys to think that. Like,
I know, but there was like so much chaos at the time and so many rumors. We literally were like, we are going to die hosting the Hills After Show.
Well, you should have just taken it down a notch.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You know what I mean?
Thank you so much.
I think everyone just took it way out of proportion.
Do you remember what that was? What happened there in that?
We just had a fake divorce in the press.
Okay, yeah.
And then
I was like,
I'm not going.
Uh-huh.
Right. And like legally, I'm not going. And then I think maybe he wasn't invited, but was like, wouldn't it be funny if I just showed up as an old man? And that was it.
That was it. It was just like, wouldn't this be a funny thing to do?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was it.
And here Dan and I are getting calls from our parents being like, are you about to be murdered on MTV? So it's good to know.
Thank you, guys. You took the character a little too far.
Yeah, it was just, that was on us.
That was on us.
How
do you think?
Yeah. Okay, before we move on from The Hills, by the way, do you hate talking about it? Do you like talking about it? How do you feel?
It depends on like what it is, but in general, no. And I'm appreciative of it. And, you know, it's fun. When I was young, you know.
I know. I feel the same way. It's the first thing people want to talk to me about.
Right.
People always ask me about you guys. And I always say
I saw you. It's so funny. On my Snapchat, what did we do? It was like, remember you came down here?
It was like 10 years ago. Oh, God. I don't know. You did something with me on E.
Yeah, it was a Hills flashback. You just popped up and I was like, oh my gosh, how funny. We were in like the dressing room and getting ready. And
oh my God. Heidi, I don't
maybe
even
it was
remember.
The E. Maybe it was 10 years ago at the E. Maybe it
was
that.
It's like you don't remember your Billy Bush interview. I don't remember that. Maybe it was. Okay, before we move on, the storylines might have been fake, but were the friendships real? I want to know who from The Hills you still keep in touch with in a rapid fire game I am calling He's a Sucky Person.
Sucky person.
I'm just going to list off some Hills castmates. You tell me the last time you talked to them as fast as you can. Here we go. Last time you talked to Kristen Cavallari.
Like 2 days ago.
I know. You guys are good friends, right?
I love Kristen.
I know. How do you feel about her hot 24-year-old boyfriend?
Like, go, girl. Okay.
Go, girl.
Okay. Show up. Let's go.
Brody Jenner.
Probably 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's fun. He's a hot dad now.
Yeah, Spencer talks to him like all the time. So
I love that. Audrina.
Probably a year ago.
Okay. Whitney.
Like 3 years ago.
Okay. Lo Bosworth.
Never.
Your sister-in-law, Stephanie Pratt.
Christmas.
Oh, your sister, Holly Montag.
2 days ago.
Okay. By the way, I still have Holly in my phone contacts. And now I have like a mom friend named Holly. And every time I go to text her, I almost text your sister.
So. I hate when that happens. I actually text other people and I'm like, hey, yes. What time are you doing? And they're like, wrong person. I'm like, oh, why don't I just take you out? This is so annoying.
Literally, I can't take her out because it brings me too much joy to have Holly Montag pop up in my phone contacts. But one day she's going to get a text from a random number that's like, can I pick up Dre from the play date now? Like, it's okay. Misha Barton.
Like 3 years ago or whenever the reboot was.
Okay. Yeah. Jen Bunny.
Last week.
Ooh, that's cute.
Yeah, yeah. No, we've been best friends since, I don't know, 19 or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Enzo, the little boy you babysat to make Spencer want children.
Whenever that last episode was casted or aired. I don't know.
Enzo has like graduated from college now.
Yeah. Probably a lawyer somewhere.
Absolutely. Enzo is thriving. Bella, the puppy you got for Christmas in season 1 that disappeared and was never spoken about again.
Oh, she actually passed. I gave her to Jen's best friend, who gave her the best life ever. She lived in Orange County, lived by a pool, was like hand fed every meal. So she ended up having the best life ever. And then she passed away like 3 years ago.
Oh, Heidi, I love to hear it, though.
But she got the best life ever. I was just too young and not in a place to have that dog. But I made sure she got the best home.
That's so great. And finally...
Yeah, rich, that bitch.
Finally, Miss Lauren Conrad.
Probably like 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that is how you play He's a Sucky Person.
Sucky person.
You keep in touch with so many people. I'm impressed.
You know, I'm a busy mom. Got lots.
I know.
A lot of irons in the fire.
I know. Can we talk about one of my favorite irons that you have in the fire? Your music.
My gosh, I have almost a billion streams on TikTok.
I can't.
My Spotify is so big. I have hundreds of millions of streams, which is great. It is the most successful it's ever been.
Yes.
I have new music coming out. Like, it is really taken off. I'm like the biggest pop star I've ever been right now.
You literally are. And for my phonies who don't know how this all happened, Heidi's songs from her album Superficial, which came out in 2010, have gone absolutely viral on TikToks. Now even critics are circling back and giving your music rave reviews. I did like a cross-country stand-up tour. I put the video for Blackout in my pre-show video dance party.
Thank you.
I mean, and like when you re-listen to these songs, they are fucking bangers, Heidi. Like pop club bangers.
Yeah.
And when I have musicians on my show, I like to celebrate their greatest hits by asking them to sing them with me. Would you do me the honor of playing a round of Heidi-oki?
No.
I don't think so. I just play your songs.
I love you and I appreciate your promotion of my music and everything, but thank you for the thought.
So but it's a hard no from Heidi. You cannot hear her sing her music here for free, bitches. Go stream it, okay?
Go stream it, guys. Come on.
Stream Body Language, stream Blackout, stream Superficial.
I'll do it. It's the number one trending one.
And then also from the vault, you released Touch Me, which I have played on this show.
Thank you. Touch Me, Higher. We have more remixes coming out. We have new music coming out. So it's going to be great.
This is so exciting. When you saw that it was all starting to blow up again, like what was your reaction?
I cried. I was so excited. We spent all of both of our Hills money or most of it into this album. And so when we were filming the Hills, that was such a small segment of what we were doing. We were hustling paparazzi photos. You know, we were going around doing so many things, but our main income that we were focusing on and trying to work on was the studio. So I would finish filming a scene. I would do it for like an hour or two. And then we'd be in the studio for 8 hours. And we spent all of our money and we spent so much time. And I had the writer, you know, Kathy Dennis wrote Toxic for Britney Spears. She wrote Blackout. She wrote Turn Your Head. We had the best singers, the best songwriters, the best production. So this was supposed to be, in my mind, I was going to be a pop star. And that's what we were working on. We're like, the Hills is going to end. What's next? Let's invest in music. Let's go on tour. And it just got derailed by my plastic surgery and got really overshadowed, like with the release date. And then I, you know, iHeartRadio asked me to perform and I wasn't able to. And I just had done Miss Universe, which you were
at
a part of. But I didn't know that this surgery would be so overwhelming. And I didn't know it'd be so hard to recover from. And obviously the surgery was free. And I was just told it'd be a quick recovery. And I was way in over my head. And it just took over my life. And I wasn't able to tour the music and do what we were planning on. You know, it was a 3-year plan or 2-year plan that completely got derailed. So I always thought, like, how devastating it was that we had spent all of our money and all of our time into this project. And I made a quick decision that I thought and was told would be such an effortless, easy thing that just changed my life so drastically that I wasn't prepared for. So to have it come full circle now is almost more of a blessing than then, because I can really, you know, appreciate it and have some time from it, and just to have it come to life is such a blessing, because it maybe never would have, you know. So to have this moment is incredible.
Heidi, I'm sorry. I know you're not going to sing along, but I'm just going to celebrate that answer with this. Okay. Oh my gosh. First of all, thank you for that honest answer. I had no idea. Was it the physical recovery that you weren't prepared for? Emotional recovery? What was it?
Yeah, it was mostly physical.
Yeah.
So I was told it'll be a quick this, it'll be a quick that. You know, you'll recover in a month or two. And it took me over a year to be able to talk. You know, my jaw was, because I had my chin shaved down and I could barely talk. And you know, they called Spencer and told him that I had died and of an overdose of Demerol. Like, it was devastating. It was so incredibly intense. I could hardly move. I had to have nurses come. It felt like I was literally hit by a car. I wouldn't have done it if I would have had known hard it was going to be in the actual recovery. And it was tricky because it was free, right? So you're like, oh, you add it all up. It's like $200,000 free. Here you go. And you're like, oh, cool. Great. And I had had cosmetic surgery before, just my nose, my breast, and it took me a month to recover and I was fine. So I was told it would be similar to that, and it wasn't. And it really changed the trajectory of my life and the hills and my family and my music. And it was really hard to recover, and it was really intense. And I wasn't able to be a person. And I kept telling the producers that and everyone that, I'm like, I can't talk. Like, I'm not a person. I'm not who I used to be. Like, I'm very fragile. I can barely move. This is not the time or place to be like playing pretend and to be fake fighting. And like, I'm not the Heidi that I've been. I'm very, very fragile right now, and I'm recovering. And nobody understood that. Nobody listened to me. And it was just really hard. So I just wasn't prepared at all.
Oh my God. And you know what? Thinking back, you had so many iconic lines that you said to me during our time together in the Bahamas. But one thing that you guys said in one of our conversations famously is that you were going to be bigger than Michael Jackson. And that is wild, because you guys really believe that, right? You were putting all your money. I mean, obviously it's hyperbole, but like, you're putting all your money into this career, into this thing. I had no idea that that's sort of how it all went down.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously in a dream scenario, you know,
like, sure,
in a funny, cheek and enjoyable way.
Oh, yes. But now you're making new music. I mean, the door is open. We need a new Michael Jackson, Heidi, and I'm ready for that to be you.
Well, I'm definitely on par with the surgery, I feel like, with Michael Jackson. So maybe that was the comparison. But yeah, no, we're ready for the music.
I'm so excited. Can I just go back to that night? Your iconic live performance of Body Language at the Bahamas. I believe like Donald Trump hired you because it was for the 2009 Miss Universe pageant, right?
He had to approve me.
Donald Trump approved you. Well, what a wild time. After the performance, I'll never forget, I saw you. You're still in your Britney-inspired, bedazzled, like, two-piece. We're watching the fireworks outside. I, like, congratulated you on this amazing performance and achievement. And you invited me to your after party at a club. I'm sure you don't remember this.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
So you and Spencer invite me to the after party. I'm like, amazing. I say goodnight to my camera crew, my producers. I go to the club. You're drinking, you're doing shots, you're dancing, you're like celebrating as you should be. And I say hi, and you say hi, and then you look around and you go, where's your cameras? And I was like, oh, it's like midnight. They went to bed. And you're like, no, no, bring your camera crew. So I went back to the hotel, woke them up, brought them to the club, and like we shot the whole thing. There was footage of me sitting next to Spencer while he got a lap dance from you, Heidi.
Like, I recently saw this footage.
No! Actually. Where?
I don't know.
We have to find it.
Yeah, we have to find it.
It was so wild. And at the time, I remembered like thinking, holy shit, you guys have been had cameras around you for so long. Even at this, what should have been like or could have been a private celebration, you wanted the cameras there. Is that safe to say?
I mean, yeah, I think that that was just part of life, and to have it there and to be celebrating and to have it be in the moment. Like, of course, it made sense.
And now I'm desperate to find that footage.
I just saw it. I was laughing so hard.
Okay, please send it to me if you find it again.
I think it was on TikTok. I don't know where it came up. I'll ask Spencer.
Ask Spencer, please. Now, you know, the lap dance has paid off. You have two gorgeous children, Riker and Gunnar. My twin boys, Rio and Dre, are like a few months younger than Gunnar. So I was following your pregnancy during that time. We were pregnant at the same time. So now, is privacy more important to you with them in your life? Or are you just like, welcome to the party, boys. Get in those paparazzi shots.
It's a balance, right? Like Snapchat is a huge income and, you know, part of our lives. But also I want certain aspects of their lives to be able to be private. So I try to focus more on us, but it is like more of a family content. So that just comes with discernment of the moment and the times. And obviously we are a public family, but also I want to respect them. And I would never put certain things on it or tantrums or moments that we need to just have as a family. So, you know, it's just a give and take.
And do you guys have just like a normal life? Are you doing preschool drop off? Is Spencer like, what is a day to day for you guys?
Yeah, I think we're just very normal. I think we've always been very normal. And that's been the funniest part of our whole, you know, relationship, really. So we have an element of fun. You know, we have our podcasts, we are pitching shows, we do certain things. But at the end of the day, it is drop off, pick up. I mean, I don't have any nannies. I have help like once or twice a week. I'm a full-time mom, and that's really what I do. I have my kids. I'm with them all day. I take them to soccer. I take them here. I take them there. But that's what I love, right? That's my dream, is to be able to be with them as much as I can. And sometimes, I mean, if we could get date night once a month and get a babysitter, then that's great.
Yes.
We're all for that. But it's hard to get, you know, people when they're at night and to watch the kids. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But it's mostly parent life. And that's what I love. And I'm really thankful. And they're healthy and great. And being with my family is my favorite thing in the world. It's my biggest dream.
I love that so much. What do your children think you do for a living? Because mine are so confused. They don't know what I do.
They know. They know we do TV. I mean, we did The Hills reboot. We have camera crews here. Gunnar understands that. And
Mommy is a huge pop star. Mommy has 20 billion streams.
My girl loves my music. They do.
I love that. Okay, I know you called it Spidey's 16th minute, sort of ironically, but I do feel like we are in Heidi and Spencer's 16th minute. You have resurged in the culture in a way I'm so happy about. I love to see it. I want more. And so I guess my question for you is like, after almost 20 years of experiencing the highs and the lows of fame, what is your vision for the next 20 years?
Podcasting. I think, you know, Heather McDonald is definitely my podcast goal. So I love her. I see where she is. So that's a goal for me. Music, obviously want to continue that trajectory and do as much as I can. And then it's always about shows, right? So we continue to pitch shows. We have another show that we're pitching in the next few weeks. The producer is very confident. So we'll see. It's always something, but I think that I just need more money in the bank and a little more success, and we'll be perfect.
Honey, I love watching every bit of it. And before I let you go, I'm just going to put you to the test very quickly with a game I am calling Blackout. I'm going to ask you three controversial questions about The Hills. You have to answer two of them open and honestly. You can only black out or not answer one of them.
Okay.
I will tell you, when Whitney Port played this game on my podcast, she did answer all three. So feel free to do that too, you know? Okay.
Well, I probably don't want to do anything Whitney did, but I'll definitely do something else.
Do you know that Whitney and I kind of like rekindled our friendship by doing this podcast and now we hang out? Now we're mom friends? I'm just putting that out there, Heidi. No, you're not coming on a park.
Anything's possible.
Not coming on a park play date with us anytime soon.
All right, let's go. Okay.
Your husband, Spencer, he's done some polarizing things. What is one scandalous thing you wish he hadn't done?
Probably less of the like fake fighting storylines. I wish we had just been like, no, keep your money.
Ah, interesting. Okay. You infamously, as we've discussed, got 10 cosmetic procedures in
me?
One. Wait, was that, did that happen? Yeah.
Me? No, no, not me. No. First time I can be the winning.
Oh, shit. Sorry, it's getting really shady here.
Okay.
Let me clean off this camera.
All right.
Are there any of those 10 procedures that you regret now?
Now that they're done?
Yes.
No, it's all good.
Okay, love to hear it.
Yeah.
Last question. You can black this one out. Did you tell Perez Hilton Lauren had a sex tape?
Absolutely not. Never. His name was Jason Waller, and he did that, and he even admitted to it on the reboot of The Hills, and they didn't air it. So you can ask. He said it. He did it. And that was all him, that I had nothing to do with me. And that's how Perez did it. And that's why he posted it, because he wouldn't have posted it if Lauren or Jason didn't confirm it to him directly. And that is what both of them have said on record.
Heidi Montag Pratt. I, as the host of The Hills After Show for 6 seasons, didn't know any of that. Did not. This is the first I'm hearing of it. I have to this day thought that it was you and Spencer, and I now know that it was Jason Waller, and I don't even know.
Yeah, even like TMZ posted everybody at the time. I would have made a sex tape about myself. A rumor about myself. Why would I do that about my former best friend? Like, it's a little silly.
Oh my God. And that's how you play Blackout. Heidi Montag, congratulations on everything. Your family, your music, your marriage, your success. Like, listen to their podcast, Spidey's 16th Minute. I listen every week. I talk about it here on this show. It's so fun.
Thank you.
Follow Heidi at Heidi Montag on everything. Stream her music. And when you drop new music, you better believe I'm playing it on this podcast first, Heidi. I cannot
Thank
wait.
You. Black it out. Black it out.
Black it out. And now we just have to hang up and say goodbye.
Okay, well, I guess we'll have to hang out if you're hanging out with Whitney.
Do you know how happy that would make me? I would crush your bones. I would hug you so hard. I mean, sorry, that's like a crazy thing.
I mean, last time I have heard that you didn't crush my bones.
I probably was trying to keep it professional, but now, if we
but
just,
now
that I'm a mother
bro?
Of three, I would be so happy. I would be so, so happy. Heidi, please send my love to Spencer.
I will.
I miss him, and tell him if he finds that lap dance footage, I, for one, would like to see it.
I just saw it the other day, so
oh
I
God.
Will.
Okay.
I'll DM,
DM
you
me.
When
okay.
I find it.
Okay.
Thank,
Thank
you
so much.
Me.
Bye.
Bye.
Heidi Montag. Oh, my God. I don't know. I think that went well. Did we clear the air? Or, like, I actually don't know. I have never phoned someone and had them tell me they did not like me. But I appreciate the honesty. Also, I appreciate her straight up refusing to sing live on this podcast. I respect it. Of all the people I've had on this show, I did not expect Heidi Montag to be the one with the boundaries. But I love her for it. I will be streaming her music. I cannot wait until the new Michael Jackson gives us more. And I do hope we can hang out together. even if I think she said that just to shade Whitney. Jason, just a quick question. Were you responsible for those 20 million streams or?
A good chunk of them, for sure.
Perfect.
I love her music. I always have, actually.
I know.
I'm not even on the new train. Like, I've been since day one. She's been in my Spotify top listened, for sure.
Well, listen, you and I have been in it from the beginning. When she released Blackout, she had a contest to promote it. You had to submit a music video to her song. Jason filmed me writhing on the beach to Blackout. We won the contest and I got an iPod Nano. If that's not a sign of the times, I don't know what is. I forgot to bring that up with her, but I love Heidi so much. Thank you, Heidi, an icon. After the break, I'm checking a voicemail I've never heard before, which is very stressful. Plus, Justin Timberlake invited me out tonight. I know, I'm as shocked as you are. I'll tell you why. Next. Commercial break.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We're back. And this is the part of the show where I get to check my voicemail and answer a phony's burning question. Now, on season one, all of those weeks ago, I would check my voicemail and I'd usually know what question I was going to answer. But this is season two, baby. Jason is the captain now.
Watch out.
I hate myself for saying that. Jason, from now on, you're going to choose the voicemail and I'm going to hear it and answer it for the first time live on this show, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So let's check my voicemail.
Check, check, check your voicemail.
Hi, Jesse. This is Emily calling from Melbourne, Australia. I am Canadian and grew up in a small town called Grimsby. And I just love listening to where all the random small towns that your Canadian viewers and listeners are calling in from. It really feels like a taste of home every time I learn about a new random Canadian city. Anyways, I am getting married this year, Jesse, and as a millennial, I am a bit rusty in terms of being able to really have a good party stamina. My partner and I met when we were really quite young and could really hold our own with our drinks and the dancing and staying up late. And to be honest, I'm a bit worried that getting hungover after two drinks, being in bed by 10 p.m. and really not wearing heels since pre-COVID is going to be a concern. So I need your help on a plan to get wedding party ready for myself, my partner, and all of our other 30-something-year-old friends who are definitely out of practice. Thanks, Jesse. Love you.
Oh, I love this question. Thank you, Emily. Jason, did you choose that?
Yeah, I can personally relate.
Why?
I'm her.
You just can't get it up to go out dancing late, even for a wedding?
No stamina, zero alcohol tolerance.
I know. But here's what I will say about weddings. First of all, Emily, love that you're calling from Melbourne, Australia. We love our global audience here on Phone a Friend. I'm just adding her to the list. We have one listener from Italy who corrected my pronunciation of burrata, and now we have a listener from Melbourne, Australia. And with Heidi's 20 billion fans in China, this is a global episode. Do you know what I mean? Wow. Emily from Melbourne, Australia, you are getting married at the right time. Hear me out. I have gone to countless weddings in my life. The two best weddings were the first and the last, okay? And I'm not including mine. Mine was in the middle. It was not the best. The best were the first, because the first one, my friend was 25 when she got married. And we were all like single and drunk and had stamina for days. So that wedding was like so sloppy. We're all in bridesmaids' dresses, like passed out on a field somewhere. The iconic wedding, okay? And then the second best wedding I've ever been to in my life was my last friend to get married, which happened like 15 years later when we were all in our mid, like maybe she was like, we were like 36 or 37 when she got married, because we were so starved to go out and dance, and like everyone has little kids at home. And so by the time you get married, Emily, it's been a minute since your friends, your elder millennial friends in their mid-30s have gone out and partied, and they are going to be ready. They've got nannies at home. They're dressed up. They're looking cute. This is like a date night for them. They're going to go hard. So I'm telling you, you do not have to worry about your friends. Do you agree with this theory, Jace?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. It's definitely like their energy and stamina will be there. You'll all feel horrible the next day.
Oh, but yes.
Just embrace
it. We're not talking about the next day. Yes. One of my best friends' husbands, if she hears this, she will no longer be my best friend. She'll be so mad. But her husband at the last wedding we all went to, there was a whiskey table with like dozens of cups, glasses of whiskey shots poured on this table. And my friend's husband, father of her two children, okay, like a man who was almost 40 at the time, got so drunk, was dancing so crazy to, I'm sure, Pitbull. He fell backwards and landed in the middle of the whiskey table and broke every single glass covered in whiskey and like bleeding, and popped right back up and started dancing again. Oh. And he has been a hero ever since. I mean, your friends are going to bring it for you because they know they have to go home to their kids and they have nothing else to live for. So like, trust me, the wedding is going to pop off, Emily. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Your Grimsby girls are ready. You just have to get yourself ready. And I would say, you know, I don't know. How do you prepare for that, Jason? Do you like start drinking? Like, do you start training your stamina, your liver for that? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know, but I know it's going to be amazing. I am wishing you such a happy wedding. And trust me, you're doing it at the right time. You are. And call us and leave us a voicemail after. Tell us how it goes. And if you want to invite me, trust me, I am a lightweight. I will be the one to knock over the whiskey table. I'll be ready to go. Okay? Be my first invite to a phony wedding. Are you kidding?
Hey, wasn't there an engagement on the finale?
Of The Hills?
No, of this podcast. I'm fully making that up.
Jason,
Remember when you had people call in Chat Roulette? Did someone get an engagement?
Are you cheating on me with another podcast?
No.
Actually, you're right.
Oh, no, it was a pregnancy never mind.
It was a pregnancy announcement. And then I like forced someone to get engaged to the man. She was like wanting a proposal from a man. You're right. You should all go back and listen to our final episode of 2023. It was a Chat Roulette episode with phonies. And a lot of wild shit went down. You're right. And with that, thank you for calling, Emily. Congratulations. Happy wedding. That's our show, our premiere. And now that we're back up and running, phonies, we want to hear from you. Okay, leave me a voicemail. Technically, leave a voicemail for me, for Jason, to listen to first, anytime, about anything. Ask me a question. Call me out on something I said on this show. Share your good news with me. I'll even take your bad news. We're in this together. My inbox is waiting for your call. 323-448-0068. If Emily can call from Melbourne, you can call from Sudbury. You know what I'm saying? Jason, we obviously have to end with a Heidi Montag banger. Since she refused to sing one live, what are we going with?
just the classic like body language, I think.
Classic body language.
Yeah.
Absolutely 100% role body language. Do you know where I'm going right now, Jay?
No.
Literally turning off the mic and going to a private Justin Timberlake concert that he invited me to because apparently his label was so excited that I talked about loving his new single on this show. They invited me to a small private show tonight in Los Angeles. The first thing I did was ask if I could take you and Rob, our technical producer, as my plus ones to celebrate the season two premiere, and they said hard no. But I'm going. Can you believe?
I appreciate that. And I cannot believe that. Tonight, actually?
Tonight, wow. Actually.
Wow.
And so I thank you so much. I'm most excited to just report back to you next week. I'm going to tell you everything that I see. Also, the Love is Blind reunion is happening tonight. You better believe I've watched all 786 hours of season six, and I'll be taking my rage issues out. Sorry, I mean breaking down the show next week on Phone a Friend. We're back, baby. Thank you for listening, phonies. Jason, thank you for blessing us with your presence once again.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you. How fun.
And are you still going to come back when Heidi isn't here next week?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you to Heidi Montag, my newest mom friend. Let's take a moment to feel her body language. Talk next week. Bye.
Phone a Friend was created by our mommy, Jessie Cruikshank. The executive producers are Jessie Cruikshank and Jason Yanba. The technical producer is Rob Parrott. The amazing theme song and sexy interludes are by Jay Malinowski from Bedouin Sound Clash. Phone a Friend is part of the Acast Creator Network. Credits are by us, Ray Gatica and Rio Gatica. We're her kids. That's crazy, right? Wow, you're still listening? Okay, see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.